Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here with us today. An interesting show today. One of those happy shows today. Why? Because it's a birthday show.
It's my birthday
today. Well, kind of, right? Jeff Leonard here in the studio with us today, celebrating the birthday of WPVC, 2 years.
94.7 es dos años. We're 2 years old. How about that? Who knew?
Well, I'm sure it was a goal when you started.
Yeah, you know, I had never started a business before, so I had no idea sort of what to expect. And, you know, you were setting your horizon. My horizon initially was like 2 or 3 hours. Is the next person going to show up? And then I got to say, well, today's covered. How about tomorrow? And then I got to worry about weeks at a time where I was able to put weekly schedules out. And now I'm sort of able to think in sort of monthly terms. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But yeah, it is a challenge that every day brings new knowledge. And I've learned so much in the past 2 years. I can't even begin to describe how much I've learned.
WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
That's us.
And you're talking about this in terms of hours. Who's going to show up? That's very much the volunteers at the microphones and pushing the buttons. I didn't hear a lick there about how you're paying for the programming on the air that you actually have to pay for. This isn't any NPR, can you call us up because we need your dollars to help pay for what you're listening to.
Yeah, we've had, I think right now we have in the 50s, total number of volunteers. Love each and every one of them. I really could not do anything without their efforts. You know, we do have some underwriters. We signed, I think, 2 or 3 new underwriters this past week. Initially, we were running a lot of public service announcements. Initially, we were barely, if at all, covering our operating expenses for the month. Right now, thanks to the volunteers and thanks to some of the donations and thanks to the new the historical underwriters and the new underwriters that are coming on, we are able to actually know that at the end of the month we'll be able to pay our rent. And that's a pretty good position. That's a better position to be in than we were this time last year or this time 2 years ago.
So, again, our guest today, Jeff Leonard, from WPVC. We are here today celebrating 2 years. October 12th, 2015, right?
That's
the first official voice. But you had a few things leaking out over the year before then.
Yeah, we were practicing, and we were trying to drum up a buzz. We were trying to let people know that we were coming, because if you just turn something on cold, no one's going to know you're there, and you're not going to get any listenership, and you're not going to have any success at all. So we were leaking some stuff out, and we would occasionally turn the satellite on, and you know, we would have people sitting here practicing with sort of a, like all restaurants do, cold opening. So we did a bit of a cold opening, and we'd have some trainees sitting here pushing buttons and making lots and lots of mistakes. When I think back to the first couple of months, just how bad I was on the air, and I was sort of supposed to be training people to be on the air, and we've come a long way since those first days of coming on at 8 o'clock in the morning and going off at 5, and you know, having people at the board that really were just learning, because we needed people. We needed bodies in the chair to do their best, and we all learned together. And several of those folks are still with us, and I cherish them as friends, and I can't thank them enough.
So that radio station that you used to work at.
I had been I think I'd been inside a radio station two or three times in my life before we built this. And I had no idea how to run the soundboard. I had no idea. I mean, I didn't know how much microphones were. I didn't know anything. And you know, you learn on the job. And
that's not how most people at radio stations who are running it work.
I found that out. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's I made so many mistakes. Oh my gosh. I you know, and so many times, not a day went by, and then when someone called me up with a problem or a question, then I just had no clue what the answer was. Jeff, can I say this word on the air? I don't know. Jeff, can you know what happens when the whole soundboard goes dark? I said, I don't know. So we learn together, and I think some of the Charlottesville. We were the butt of some jokes. Some people out there were making fun of us, especially some other radio stations that we all of a sudden became the competition for advertising dollars. So we were the butt of some jokes, but you know, we took them in good nature, and we made friends with the people that initially didn't care for us so much. And I think we've earned some respect, at least some of the people here in town. I mean, I'm having fun still, so that's sort of what's important to me.
Well, why do you start a radio station since there's only a little bit of how to start one there? I'll move on to the why.
So if you ask me that question on successive days, I'll probably give you different answers. Some days I feel like I started it just out of incredibly poor judgment. Some days I feel like I started it. The real reason I started it internally for me is for 25 years, I worked a job where I just walked around the city of Charlottesville. I worked with probation and parole, and my job was to go into the communities of sort of the lower socioeconomic communities onto the downtown mall and just meet people and just be friendly with people and try to help get them to realize there can be a better way, if whether they were using drugs or whether they were abusing their spouse or whatever they were doing. And I just got to know them, and I got to see people overcome so much and just stories of redemption, stories of people. I mean, to this day, when I walk down the street, people still come up to me and give me a hug. Or I was in Costco yesterday, and a lady reminded me and my wife that I saved her life. I didn't do it. She did it. I just sort of showed her the opportunity and supported her in the opportunity that she took. I want those people to have an opportunity to be on the air and to get their stories out. And I think through To Your Health, through Homegrown, through Apropos of Something, through Your Show, through Coy's Show, we're able to get these local stories of success and local stories of empowerment out. And we're giving these people a venue, an opportunity that they wouldn't normally have. And that's why I'm here, and that's why we're here.
Again, we are here today celebrating 2 years of life with WPVC with our guest, station owner Jeff Leonard.
That's us.
And you started it with your friend Rod Howard.
With Rod, yes. Rod was instrumental in this. Rod was sort of the part of the financial backing. Rod and I put up all the money for this, along with our we had a couple of initial investors or donors. I can't really give them their money back, but they were donors. And Rod, similar to me, but a little bit different, is he has a lot of business acumen and knows a lot of people in town that own small and local businesses. And when Rod makes a phone call that says, "Hey, Jeff," or "Hey, Diana," or "Hey, Mike's coming over to your business, I'd appreciate it if you did some underwriting support for the radio station that we launched." You know, you're not starting at zero. You're starting with the blessing of Mr. Howard, and you know, 9 times out of 10, you'll get that person as an underwriter. So he's not physically here as much because he's running some of the other aspects of the business, but he is. His support is well known in the community, and especially when we go into the community where, you know, Rod was the first African-American to receive an FCC license in Charlottesville. And that's something that we did intentionally. I mean, when we looked around, there wasn't any media at all that was controlled by African Americans. And when we applied, and then I think JAMS 101.3, sort of the radio station across the hall, they received their license right after us. So back to back, sort of, you know, they became some minority ownership in the FCC airwaves in Charlottesville. And quite frankly, that was one of our goals starting out, was to not make it all just white men.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the shows, because I want to, in a few minutes, we're going to start inviting in some of the guests from shows that you have here. We have some sort of national, regional shows that you do during the week, where you have volunteers do some of the sort of NPR-ish thing, right? The shows play for an hour or 2 hours, and then during the breaks, volunteers here read the local news or weather, et cetera. And then over the weekly or daily afternoons or over the weekends, you have local show hosts doing local shows. And we'll do some of those during this hour. How do you come about putting those together?
Yeah, there were a couple of targets I had in mind, you being one. Thank you for being here. And the other was Clinton Johnson. I've known Clinton for 20-some years, and he's such a performer and so smart and so creative. And every time I had a conversation with him at the wine shop or on the downtown mall or at the gym or at the concert that we would go to together, I always left a little bit smarter. He always made me think of something that was through a different lens. And he intrigued me. And I said to myself, if I ever do anything in this town, I want to have Clinton as a part of it. So I approached him right before we came on the air, and I was like, I've got to have you do a show. He's like, well, what do you want me to do a show on? I said, I don't know. Just be Clinton. Do what you do. And he's like, well, I've got some friends that I think might be able to help. And it's morphed into Homegrown, which the title doesn't exactly give it its what it is. It's a show by African. We call them highly educated, highly agitated African Americans on art. I mean, they are so smart and so witty, and they are, for an African-American artist in this community who's not a hip-hop artist or a musical artist, there's really limited venues to break into. So what they try to do on Homegrown is, if there is an African-American play or an African-American art opening, they will feature that. They also do all the other art openings in town also, but it's they come at it from a perspective that I don't have, and I really, really enjoy their show. I was listening to it the other day, and I came in the studio just after. When you listen to their show, you really wish you were in the studio with them, because they're having such a good time, and they're able to bring their audience in, and they're able just to talk so intelligently about so many different topics that I'm just amazed at the quality of their show. I just love to listen to it.
Well, again, Jeff Leonard here from WPVC as we celebrate 2 years here on air at 94.7. Let's bring in one of the other shows and one of the other show hosts, MC Blair. No, that is not. Is that right?
That's right.
That's you, but that's your host name.
Absolutely.
That's not how I know you. Your show's on Saturdays at 11 o'clock, To Your Health.
Yes.
You threw me when you gave me that piece of paper saying how to introduce you as your show host name, and I apologize. Okay. I know you differently than your regular listeners do.
Right.
MC Blair.
That's actually my last name. It's Mike McBlair is my real name. MC is.
I feel like I'm waiting for you to break down into food wrapping.
Right. I know.
And I don't mean that as WRAPP.
Right. Right.
So, Mr. MC Blair, I want to know. WPVC has shows on sports and local arts. How do you come into WPVC and get a show about food?
Well, before I start, I want to thank Jeff Leonard. I don't want to get emotional, but I'm an emotional guy. And
just remember, we have limited time.
He gave me a shot, and I won't go on. But I just want to thank Jeff. His guidance, his generosity, and I guess his mentor style is
right. All that radio, decades of radio background.
Yeah, decades of radio. Right. But I came on as a volunteer. I found out about it through one of our sponsors, Market Street Wine, Robert Harley down there, and he told me, "Hey, this station is looking for volunteers." And I said, "Hey, you know, I've always wanted to be in radio. I've got a background in stage and screen and all that," and so I came over here, and I started off as a volunteer on WPVC and just doing these, Stephanie Miller show. And so I learned it, and I liked it, and then I found out they were doing some specialty shows on the weekends. And one of my, I've been in food service for many years as well, and one of my battle cries or you know, whatever, mantles, if you will, is real food, locally grown, without the pesticides, opposite of Big Ag. And so I asked Jeff one day, I said, "Hey, I'd like to do a show on this. You know, I know a lot of local farmers and, a lot of restaurants that source their food from local farms. And so I felt I see a need that needed to be filled, and that is educating the public on why they should eat real food, because it adds to their health. It is their health. You know, that's our fuel. And so I found out that a lot of the food from Big Ag, the processed foods, are actually anti-nutrient. They take nutrients from our body. And so I wanted to get as much word out there by bringing in guests, by bringing in farmers that knew. I had a nurse practitioner on here. I've had farmers. I've had restaurateurs. All those folks that are concerned about the product that they're putting out there to the public, and they're very conscious, very health conscious. And so I saw a need, and I think, why not? So that's how To Your Health got started.
Well, Charlottesville is certainly a good town for that. We're known of being a town not only full of restaurants, but nearby in the local counties full of farms that are making their attempt to do this. How do you, I want to know the effort to find people on a Saturday morning to get them to come in, because you're talking about a group of people whose lives are full of what they do. I mean, to get somebody from the restaurant to come in on a Saturday morning, find somebody from the farm to come in on a Saturday morning. How do you make your show work?
Well, that's a good question, Rick. I started at City Market. I've known, I started before that in knowing Gail Hobbs Page from Caramont Farm. I knew her back in Norfolk, Virginia before I came up here. And so I looked her up right away, and she told me about this movement of eating local food, real food. And so she told me all about it. I started doing it. My health improved dramatically. My wife's health improved dramatically. She suffered from asthma. Now she takes one medication. She was on two medications plus inhalers and all that. And so I know that it works. And I, yeah. So so that's where I start is going to City Market, talking to farmers, getting them to come on the show. And they really want to. And when I talk to restaurateurs, they would actually, the health-conscious restaurateurs that believe in the same principle that I do, they had no problem coming in because they believed in that. And so they were willing to sacrifice getting up a little bit early on a Saturday to come in here. And it's worked so far. It's really it really has.
All right. To Your Health, Saturdays at 11 o'clock.
Thank you, Rick.
With
and
MC
thank
Blair.
You, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. More for the second birthday with Jeff Leonard and WPVC. And here we are back on a lovely Sunday morning, Mr. Jeff Leonard, WPVC, and the two-year birthday. Again, that was MC Blair.
Can I add what I don't think... Mike and I just talked about this briefly a couple weeks ago, but someone came to us because of his show, and they have about an acre of land that's undeveloped in the city, sort of off of South First Street, that they've offered to us, or at least asked us to partner with, to do to put up a bunch of hoop houses to sort of have an urban garden and to help maybe invite Region 10 or some of the school systems in to sort of grow local produce. And I was over there looking at the property the other day, and I think maybe this time next year for our third, fourth, or fifth anniversary show, we'll be able to bring in some local produce thanks to Mike's show.
Now first, that's awesome. Second, that's the kind of thing that community radio is meant to be about.
It is. I have an idea. Here's how I want to do it. And getting like-minded people in like-minded in situations where they can thrive and succeed. And just let good people put good people in good positions and let them have at it. And that's all I'm trying to do.
And being fortunate enough to be in a position to have a microphone, and mean that in a obviously a literal sense. It's not just being on a soapbox.
Right.
But being in a place where you can say something loud enough for people to hear it. And in this sense, being able to say something good and nice and attract someone's attention to do something good and nice.
Yeah, it's not just, Dan's in the room. Thank Dan Gould at Seaville Podcast, because everything we put out, your show and Homegrown and To Your Health and Apropos of Something is sort of destination radio. If you don't hear it at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, then you're probably going to miss it in the old days. But now it goes up on podcasting, and you can listen to the show. If you can't listen to it live, then you can go back and hear it. And then if you can go out and, Mike can tell his friends, or Clinton or Nancy can tell their friends, hey, just go but listen to my show, and it gives... It also allows us to recruit new guests, and if I were to go on a show, if I were asked to go on a show, I'd want to hear the interviewer's style. So it does it helps us immeasurably to be able to capture all these shows for eternity. And I want to thank Dan for that.
Yeah, and I hope to get Dan in here a little bit later in the hour, because I want to talk about growing WPVC, and I agree that I think Seaville Podcast is hoping to do that. But when I go to ask a guest who I'm not sure is familiar with the show, or may be in a position where they may question, what are you going to ask me about?
Yeah, what's your motivation for asking me?
Exactly. And I can put a link to Seaville Podcast and say, here are some other guests who've come on the show, or listen to this show because this person may have also been concerned. So having podcasts through Seaville Podcast is also helpful. While we talk about growing, this is a low power station required to get the license, correct?
Correct. The license was free. The FCC application was free. I paid nothing to own or to own the privilege to operate on 94.7 FM in Charlottesville, and because of that, because of the way I acquired the frequency, there are certain parameters that I have to go by. I can only have but the antenna can only be 100 feet above average terrain, and I can run at only a certain amount of power, and I think it's under 100 watts, so it doesn't have as much reach as some of the giant commercial stations, but what we lack up in, I think we make up in quality what we lack in just broadcast ability. And plus, we're streaming on the web, and we're streaming on TuneIn Radio. So terrestrial radio is only one way to get the content these days. And one of the things I didn't anticipate was the value of Facebook live stream and Periscope and some of the other online video video feeds. I mean, we're in Spanish 21 hours a week, and Mindy, who is our one of our Spanish language DJs from El Salvador, she was up on Facebook live stream in here a few Fridays ago and had 50,000 people tune into her on Facebook. I mean, when you look at the number, total number of views, 50,000, and she had, you know, 1,100 people commented on what she was doing, and it was shared all over the globe. And I'm just looking at these numbers going, what in the world is going, what are they doing that is making it that popular? So that one of the things I didn't anticipate was sort of that live streaming capability. I'm trying to get Koi to do it. I know Homegrown uses it pretty regularly, and I think that's what's next in this opportunity.
Is there a way for the station to grow in the more traditional sense in terms of whether it's, you know, the circle around the station or the number of people tuning in the car?
Yeah, it's intensely political. The FCC guides and governs everything that we do. And every now and then there's this thing called RecNet, which is an FCC watchdog. And the FCC this year put out AM to FM translator. So if you have an AM station, you are allowed to apply for an FM translator. That's how WINA got on FM a couple of years ago. And in that, there was an opportunity for them to include low-power FM stations to allow us to have a repeater or to allow us to raise our transmitter. So my transmitter right now, my antenna is at Fashion Square Mall right at the CenturyLink on top of that big monopole over there. All the other radio stations in town, all the other commercial radio stations in town are on Carter's Mountain. So if I were able to go up to Carter's Mountain, if they were able to remove that height above average terrain restriction, I mean, we'd be able to broadcast all over the place. But it's, you know, we're definitely limited as to who we can reach, and because of the restrictions. And every year, the LPFM Association sort of lobbies the FCC to give us more power or give us more height or allow us to have repeaters or translators. And we're just waiting to see what the FCC allows us to do, because we're positioned to grow as soon as the FCC allows us to.
Again, we are celebrating 2 years. That's 2 years, WPVC, with Jeff Leonard, WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. So let's take a few minutes. It is 28 after the hour. We will be talking in just a few minutes with Nancy Lawrence from Apropos of Something there on Saturdays at 10 o'clock.
Holy cow, what guests do they get? Amazed. I come in here on Saturday morning, who's sitting here? It's the liberal redneck in here, live in studio. I was like, aren't you Trey? Aren't you the liberal redneck? He goes, hey, I'm Trey. How you doing? I was like, holy God, how'd they get you here? So, and it's serious, guys. They had the head of the 9/11 commission on the other day in studio. How did they get the head of the 9/11 commission in here for Apropos of Something? It's just dedication. I'm stunned at the quality of guests and what they do with the guests too. They do such a nice job.
Well, we'll have to ask Nancy.
Please do. I love her. I love her interview style too. She's great.
Are we ready to go, Nancy Lawrence?
Yes. Oh, I've been hearing all these compliments, but I didn't know that I was enough to speak. I thought exactly you were going to say my name, and then I'm obviously, yes, I'm here, and thank you so much, both of you, for that intro. It was amazing.
Well, and that's how we do it here. We say beautiful, lovely things because we think you're on the air. And then we check just to make sure. Nancy Lawrence from Apropos of Something,
exactly.
Saturdays at 10 o'clock with your co-host, Ellen Daniels.
Yeah, there's nothing better than an interview without the other person. I do apologize for thinking that. I thought you were honestly cutting to commercial. I will stop talking before I use up all my time discussing why.
No. We'll say thank you. That's enough, and then I'll just cut you off. I have the control buttons in front of me. So Nancy, let's let you answer the question. How do you get all these amazing guests in the studio?
It's quite simple. It doesn't work every time, but honestly, it is reading up on them and then writing an email, or sometimes resending that email. And that is the step one and step two. They, Philip Zelikow, case in point, as in, yes, we are so fortunate, the people that we get on the show, especially on a Saturday, et cetera. But it just involves writing emails and crossing our fingers that they want to talk. And we've been really, as you both said, we've been really fortunate that we are not more connected than that to most of the people that appear on our show.
Nancy, you host the show from New York City, correct?
Correct. Yes. So I should make one more. So it was a 7-second delay in my coming on this interview. That's my position now on why I didn't just barge in a few minutes ago. It was the time delay on the phone. Yeah, I am. Yes, I'm the one that hogs up the phone line during our show, Ellen Daniels and myself. I'm the one that's on the phone, so no one can call in.
We like to call your apartment where you're from our New York City studio, so just so you know,
yes,
that you're our studio.
yes, we are growing in that way. We have office supplies and a phone, and who knows, we'll spread to other towns and other shortly.
Does mine count as the Earliesville studio?
If you're from home, yes.
Yeah, you're the one that gets the Ken Burns, bluegrass kind of sound.
Yeah.
And then I get the 1920s rag, something like that.
Now, if you could get Ken Burns on your show, I'd be really, really impressed.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, that Vietnam series was unbelievable. It would be amazing to speak to him about that.
Nancy, let me ask, you've had all these amazing guests, and I feel obligated to ask, you must have one or two that have been your most favorites.
I'm going to do a what's his name? Wrong.
What's his name?
I honestly wondered if that might be a question for, at least for me, today. But I have to say, honestly, I don't. There's always something about every interview that I enjoy on an equal, truly equal level. So really, there is not one that I would, because a lot of times people that I think I sort of know what we're going to talk about, it's, surprises me, as you can imagine, and so I don't have a favorite.
All right, how about if I rephrase that?
Okay, wrong. No.
How about one of the more memorable interviews?
One of the more memorable, I think, was when we had a Pulitzer. I think he was a Pulitzer. I know he won many awards. Yudhijit Bhattacharjee, wrote, now, of course, a book whose name I can't tell you the name of, but it was about espionage, finding out about the first, one of the first spies that was working against the government, and how he did that in the 90s. And of course, I don't remember that gentleman's name either, but I didn't realize, just I didn't know enough about that, the history of that case. And so he was quite forthcoming, Yudhijit Bhattacharjee, and I couldn't tell that just from reading the research I did online about him. And so he stands out in that way. But they all, truly, I mean, I am getting so very smart in the last 20. I can't speak for Ellen, but I am totally getting so much smarter in the last 27, from the last 27 shows. It's amazing. I appreciate.
One of the things that was stuck out to me was your Mr. or is it Dr. Zelikow or Mr. Zelikow, Professor Zelikow?
Right.
Someone thought so much of your interview that they got in their vehicle and drove to the studio and walked in and made an in-person complaint that Mr. Zelikow wasn't liberal enough to be on the station. So that stood out to me. I thought it was a great interview, and you know, you're making. I say that to say you're making a difference in this community. People are engaging with the radio station through your show to the point where, you know, if you're getting complaints, you're doing, you know, you're having an impact. I don't know if you're doing something right, but you're definitely having an impact on the community. So that's what stands out to me.
Well, you know, thank you for you know, catching it that way. I was genuinely, when you wrote, at least me, since anyway, when I was informed of that, that happened, I was so surprised. And I'm not one, you know, that is in the middle of any controversy. And it was a similar, you know, from people that do speak about stuff like this, I felt similarly in that if they had, this person that drove to the station could not have listened, in my opinion, could not have listened to that interview because we were speaking of things that affect us all, and he was not on to do a greatest hits of his conversations with Condoleezza Rice, or, you know, he was speaking of things that affect us all, things that he was working on with advising with Barack Obama. You know, these are just nonpartisan topics, and yet, I know his name is his name, but he is more than just, you know, the things that happened back then, and those are the issues we were talking about. Ellen and I were not giving him the microphone, you know, to allow him to do some sort of conservative or whatever you want to call it agenda. I was so surprised when you told me of that.
And, yeah, well, I would describe him as humble, as Mr. Zellico. Yeah. He, relatively humble compared to the status and the things that he's accomplished in his life. And I found myself liking the gentleman.
It totally. He had. I mean, he was concerned about voter registration. He was concerned about our safety. He wasn't. I mean, yeah. I mean, I know we're both, I guess, preaching to a choir of three here. But yeah, but
hopefully more than three.
We've
got
it was
listeners.
So surprising.
Again, our guest today, Jeff Leonard. He's here celebrating with us all WPVC's second birthday. And Nancy Lawrence, one of the co-hosts from Apropos Something. You can listen to that show Saturdays at 10 o'clock and find all the podcasts on SeavillePodcast.com.
Thank you, gentlemen, for all of that, and happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Too.
Just before you go,
sure.
Nancy, I want to know, you know, I used to complain all the time about I always wanted to do a live show, and I needed to sit straight across from the guests. I wasn't very comfortable with guests on the telephone. I wasn't very comfortable pre-recording shows. It took me a long time to get used to that. And I'm curious how it is for you to do the show from New York City by telephone.
Well, I'll tell you that for the most part, I enjoy being on the phone because I can focus on what I'm hearing. I realize I'm not seeing their face, you know, which is obviously part of the communication, but it allows me, on the other hand, to focus so that I don't get distracted. The negative side is it is sometimes difficult to tell when someone is done completing a thought, and paramount to me is I never want to interrupt someone, and I have done that a few times because I think they're done, but in fact they're just pausing. You know, they're just collecting their thoughts, and I can't see their face or, you know, the body language to reveal to me that they're still, you know, they're still saying something. So that's that part. I try to hear that through the phone. I don't always succeed.
Nancy, thank you so much for taking the time
Sure.
to join us today on the birthday.
And Nancy, yeah. I'll buy you a train ticket if you want to come down and do it. Just let me know.
Yeah, we're gonna have a show from Carter's Mountain and make sure that you get a satellite there if that's or whatever it takes so that we get broadcast farther. We're on it, Ellen and I.
Yes,
we'll
you
do what
are.
We can.
Thanks for what you do, Nancy. Thanks for what you do.
Take care.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you, both of you.
All right. We'll be right back after this break. And here we are back. With Jeff Leonard. Jeff, you know, we talk about volunteers, You mentioned that WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, 94.7. 50 volunteers?
At least, yes.
At least, yes.
Doesn't everybody want to host the show?
You know, everyone has great ideas, and everyone kind of comes in and wants to host a show, and a lot of people could pull off the first 3 or 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks of a show, but after that they run out of friends and don't to interview, and sort of how. And then they have to reach out a little bit beyond their comfort circle, and not everybody's able to do that. And a lot of people do have ideas, and that was one of the hardest things for me to learn how to do, was to say no, because I'm a pleaser at my nature, and I want to include everyone as much as possible. We're going to have a show. One's in the making. We're coming out. Rick Sincere is going to do a show on Africa for us, and I'm looking forward to that. We're going to announce that pretty soon. We've announced it kind of, but we've got all the interviews, so we just have to edit them up and get them out in the air. But so that our next one is going to be a show on Africa, and there's some other stuff we're toying around with. But you have to be really careful about not just short term, but also long term. How much longevity the shows are going to have? How long have you been doing this?
I think our first show aired in October of 2015.
Well, how long have you been doing radio shows?
Oh, Coy Barefoot and I go back a long way. Coy Barefoot and I worked together back on the corner, and he started working at WNRN a few months after they opened, and after doing a couple shows, he asked me to come work with him. And so we did a show together for about 2 years. And when he left, they asked me to do the show solo. So I don't have any track. Does anybody know how
16,
long?
16, 17 years at least?
Yeah, at least. So I don't know how long, how many years WNRN's been in action. But if you subtract about less than a year, I was the sidekick guy for two and the solo guy since.
So you're the exception rather than the rule. You're the longest serving local radio show host I know.
Yeah, but only once a week for an hour. So they always say it takes 10,000 hours, and so I'm building them up very, very slowly.
Excellent.
But when we talk about shows, I mean, the station has its regular Monday through Friday kick. Right?
Yes,
from 8
does.
To 5, you play a regular set
We've
of
got
shows.
Democracy Now!, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Mark Levine, and Leslie Marshall, and the Devil's Advocates. And then we play Democracy Now! Again, then we go to Spanish, and then we replay the day's broadcast.
These shows, why don't these shows have the name that these loud conservatives have?
Democrats don't get it. Democrats just don't get the need. It's Ivy League liberal intellectualism.
They're quiet?
No, they feel...
I mean, you wear your sweater and you sit in the corner and you don't yell?
You don't understand. I don't think the Democrats understand, or the progressives or liberals, however you want to call them, understand that you just don't have to say the message once. You have to deliver the message consistently, thematically, across multiple platforms over time, and that's how the message gets through. That's how Trump got to be president. That's how the Tea Party took over the Republican Party. It doesn't matter. That's how Barack Obama's a Muslim. It's just it could be the most outlandish thing in the world like that. But if you hear it consistently across platforms over time, it's going to become truthful. And the Democrats, or the sort of the liberal intellectuals, will say, that's just stupid. We don't need to talk to our population like that. They understand right from wrong. You know, maybe they do, but it'd be nice if they consistently received the message that you wanted them to hear. I think I don't think Mr. Trump would be president if the Democrats embraced the approach to the citizenry that didn't deliver their message in a way the citizenry was ready to was receptive to it. They just said, you guys are just dumb. Don't believe what that guy's lying. Don't believe him. They didn't give a valid and thematic counterpoint to that, and they didn't call him out on that, and we're in the mess we are because of that.
Well, they teach it. They speak it like you teach a class. You say it one time, you're supposed to take a note, and then you move on.
And I think city council does some of that, too. But it's true. It's in people. That's not how people learn. That may be how you learn at Princeton, Harvard, or Yale, but that's not how you learn at PVCC. That's not how you learn at Albemarle High School. How you learn is you have to beat it into somebody, figuratively, not literally. You have to continue your message across platforms. And that's how people, it's to the point where people are almost tired of hearing it. Tell them again and again and again, war is not good. You know, you can tell them that, you know, food stamps are, SNAP isn't just for the poor. There are messages that the Democrats have failed to deliver to their detriment. And that's why we're not as successful as some of our conservative counterpoints is, because we try to stick to factual arguments, but that we don't get this station does not get the support of Charlottesville Democrats. They don't. A lot of them, if I tell them, they don't even know we're on the air. I mean, I still haven't gotten Charlottesville Democrats to put an email out to @CVilleDems.com that we're even on the air. So they're not. And that's what's. It's been 2 years and 8 months since I reached out to them. So I'm. You know, some of them get it. Some of them are like, yeah, you're doing a really good thing. You're, you know, who gets it is the LGBT community, LGBTQ community. They get it. They understand that's how they won equality, which is backing up a little bit on them right now. But they won equality because they got their message out constantly over time on multiple platforms, and they didn't relent until they won. And you know, Stephanie Miller is. 9 to noon here on PVC is probably the third most famous lesbian in America behind Rachel Maddow and Ellen. And constantly I'm getting thanked by members of the LGBTQ community for having a very powerful gay voice on the air.
Again, our guest today, Jeff Leonard from WPVC. We're celebrating 2 years on the air. Thanks again, Jeff, for...
Thanks for offering.
Sunday morning wake-up call to be here, and we're glad to have you on the air. October 12, 2015. The format of the station has changed several times. You've had several of the local weekend shows. I guess the easy way to put it is come and go change. And when I started here, we played electronic music at 12 o'clock when we finished up, and now we're doing Hispanic music.
We still have the electronic dance music. We're one of the four affiliates of Amsterdam, EJR Radio out of Amsterdam. So it's us, Seattle, New York, and Washington can run this radio station out of Amsterdam to get the latest in techno, which I kind of like, but I'm not crazy about it. But Spanish is the most needed was the most needed thing I could find in this community to deliver. Gentleman walked in and says, I would like to be a Spanish DJ, and I would like you to put Spanish music on. And I'm like, where have you been all my life? So he started at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and he was on for 6 hours. And the numbers he was getting was amazing. People were tuning in. People were chiming in on Facebook. People were, if you look at our, you know, you can go into the back door of TuneIn Radio and see where, you know, and where all the listeners are coming from, and the phones, as soon as Nitro would go on the air, the phones would light up, people would call, people would send us messages. It just took off. So we've been growing the Spanish. I'd like to grow it some more. I'm just having a little difficulty finding. For reasons that I completely understand, individuals in the Latino community aren't necessarily willing to come and be front and center on the radio because they don't want to draw undue attention to themselves. You know, whenever a new Spanish DJ comes in, I tell them as best I can is I don't want you speaking to people that look like me. I want you speaking to people that are here living in the shadows, to the people who are here that that are marginalized, that I want them to feel like they belong, because they are an integral part of our community. When Xochitl or Mindy, when La Conejita or Mindy go on come on the air, if they La Conejita will be on at 3 o'clock today, at 3:01 the phones will start ringing, and invariably 4 out of 10 calls will be from the local jail, because there's Spanish speaking individuals in our local jail that are being held for immigration or being held for whatever reason, and this is their comfort time. This is the time when they feel like they can just sort of, I guess, lay in the bunk, listen to Spanish language radio. Someone can talk to them, and I've had people tell me that it makes that during that time a little bit easier with these folks on, and I'm proud of that. And I'd like to expand to, you know, 30, 40, 50 hours a week in Spanish, because this community, the Spanish language community here, is kind. I enjoy their company, and their numbers are only going to grow, and I'm proud that we're the only Spanish language station in town.
Again, our guest, Jeff Leonard, WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm certainly proud of what I do, and I know that everybody here that I work with is proud of what they do. Dan Gould, why don't you join in for a few minutes? It's 52 after the hour. Talk about somebody that I'm proud to work with, Dan Gould. Dan, Charlottesville Broadcasting, because I feel like I'm prodded sometimes by Dan Gould. Dan Gould, Charlottesville Podcasting Network. And Dan does a lot for WPVC and the with the technology. Talk about your work here in terms of spreading, growing the listenership through technology.
Well, we started Seville Podcast back in 2005, so we're in our 12th year now. And we're always looking for good, locally produced audio. That's our mandate. To get onto our network, you have to be, either the producers have to be local, or the guests have to be local, or the content has to be local. There has to be a local element to that. And when I got word that that Jeff here was starting up WPVC, I was very excited to work with Jeff and programmers here to get some of that local content and archive it. I mean, there have been great, some really great guests on some of the shows. And so now all the weekend shows, and also a show that comes on Sunday night, well, I guess that's still the weekend, are archived, permanently archived at sevopodcast.com. And we have archives that go back not only to the beginning of the history of WPVC, which is, as we've been saying, 2 years from now, 2 years ago, but we have archives of this show, The Wake Up Call, to go back over a decade.
When you are, Jeff was talking about trying to make shows something that you don't have to be listening live. You can go to the podcast. How does WPVC, or how is WPVC expanding the listenership through the podcast?
Well, that's a question Jeff might be able to answer better than I, because, you know, our visitors, or listeners rather, they're from all over the world. They're not just from Charlottesville. I mean, we track our guests like all websites do, and we have people coming in from all over the United States, well beyond the over-air reach of WPVC. So it's kind of hard, looking at those statistics, it's hard, kind of hard to know if that's how much of that is growing the local WPVC listenership. Maybe Jeff can add something to that.
No, it's sort of there's a little competition among show hosts, especially the newer ones, to see who can get the most hits on their podcast. And it also allows us, like I said previously, to go out to underwriters and say, this is the content that we'd like you to support. But it also gives our, it allows us to get guests. It's an incentive to guests to come on, knowing that they can go back and hear themselves later, and they can spread it to their friends. And normally you can see, usually there's like 30 or 40 guaranteed downloads of the podcast in the first couple of weeks, because what's that? That's friends and family usually.
That's right. That's the early adopters there.
You send it to your friends and family. But I'll tell you about Dan Gould. Dan, I can't thank Dan enough. I mean, we do these, you know, because we change over occasionally. I used to have to come in here at Sunday morning at 7 o'clock to do something, and Dan's like, "You know, Jeff, we can write a program for that." I'm like, "Oh my God, we can do that electronically." So Dan took it on himself to do it, and I just thank him very much.
Is there a way to put the, you know, live streaming? Is that something that is done by the show host, or is that something that's being done by WPVC?
We go. Everything we do goes out over the web. This is at 947wpvc.org. Just hit the Listen Live tab, and you can get it all over the country. We can go into the secure streaming network and see how many live listeners we have and historical data. So we mine that for information.
Right. And mobile through TuneIn.
Through TuneIn,
yeah.
All right. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Just a few minutes left here with Jeff as we wrap up our birthday number two here at WPVC. So, you know, I think for many people, one of the big scores here over the last 2 years was you got Coy Barefoot to come join in.
We did get Coy, yes. That was a bit of luck, a bit of work, and just he, you know, he has some familial obligations and some employment obligations that wouldn't allow him to do it every day, but he's so good and so capable and so kind that people want to come on his show. So we came to terms, and he agreed to come on Mondays from 4 to 6. And, you know, one of the things he does is that the roundtable from 5 to 6 with Jackson Landers, Sean Kenny, and Rick Sincere, and it's three or four people coming at political they disagree politically, but they disagree, but they're not disagreeable. They have very kind conversations, and they listen to each other, and they respond factually and accurately. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what I want this station to be about, is to say, if I don't agree with you, I'm not going to call you names. I want to talk to you, figure out why you think what you think, and maybe I can learn, and maybe you can learn from me.
So what's your goal? We've got a minute left. What's the station's goal? And tell me what it is in 45 seconds.
My goal for the next year is to develop payroll. We haven't developed payroll yet. No one here gets paid. I don't get paid. And we have no salary. No one gets an hourly wage. So hopefully now that we've, after our 2 years, that we're able to develop some more underwriters, that we can begin to professionalize this place to the extent that we can actually hire someone to come in at an hourly wage and remunerate some of our longtime volunteers. That's a goal. Another goal is to continue to hold Mr. Trump accountable for the crap that he slings. And I want to do that with all of my fiber, and I'm not going to let him get away with anything. And I am going to keep this radio station on the air to fight everything that he does.
Jeff Leonard, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, man. Great to see you.
And I hope we can do this again in another year or two. That's it. Sunday morning wake-up call. Signing off. And that's not the right thing to say on radio stations. And I think that's the first time I've done that in about 15 years. Stay tuned for the radio Spanish music. Adios.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.